Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right over there in the heart of the Grove. Hey, come out this Friday, and every Friday there's an all-new music happy hour going on. This Friday, new vinyl in store from Modest Mouse, Steeler's Wheel, Nonpoint, Bad Bad Not Good, Lightning Hopkins, Car Seat Headrest, Whitechapel, Switchfoot, Dead Can Dance, and much more. Full listings online, and you can come out and get 10% off any purchase, free four hands beer for those of age, and live vinyl spinning in store. So it's going to be a good party each and every Friday. Keep an eye out for live in stores on the weekends, and you can always shop 24/7 on musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, I'm Edgefield.
And I'm Lily.
And we're the Edgefield C. Johnston Duo. You are listening to the Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with Edgefield C. Johnston Duo, right?
Hi.
Yeah,
welcome
hi.
To the show. Or,
thanks. Thanks for having us.
This is Edgefield and Lily, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Thanks for having me over. This is cool. We jammed some acoustic tunes, and but I'm excited to sit and talk and get to know you too. And I've gotten to the point doing the show a lot where I've been meeting a lot of people for the very first time on a microphone, and it's always cool to meet people doing interesting stuff and making music in our town. And so I'm always, you know, excited to get out and meet new people. So
likewise, man.
Yeah,
it's gonna meet you too.
So let's I guess let's start at the beginning. Where does this, you know, you two performing together, where does that all that start?
Well, she was my roadie.
Yeah.
At first for my punk band.
I'm still a roadie.
Until we're rock stars, we're both gonna be roadies.
Yeah.
But she started out as the roadie for Edgefield C. Johnston and the Known Haters, and gradually worked her way up to a management position within Survival Rock Hymns. And it was just kind of steps along the way,
yeah,
until we got to where we are now, which is right exactly on top of the world.
So how long have you two how long has that been now? You two been singing together then?
See, when
it's
did
like
you start? 2013 singing?
Yeah, it's been like almost 3 years, something like that. Singing didn't happen for like another 6 months or something. That was kind of a happy accident.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah. I wasn't supposed to play anything or do anything.
I think we actually played our first show with you singing at Foam in
true?
December of 2013.
That's true.
Yeah. So that was the first show we had, but we were a three-piece at the time.
So it's been like 2 years, really.
Yeah.
It's been 2.5. It's been almost 3 years.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll just get away from you, geez.
Yeah. I completely relate. I celebrated 2 years of doing this show a little bit ago, and that was
congratulations.
We saw your party on there.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Appreciate that. But yeah, it was just it's kind of crazy to think about that. I've, you know, already been doing this 2 years and stuff, and yeah, it's just, I guess time flies when you're having fun, they say. So
that's what I hear.
Yeah.
So So you guys have been, you know, at it for a while here in St. Louis, but now, I guess, is this your, like, you guys are going on, getting ready to go on tour? Is this the first tour as the duo?
No,
or
second.
Well, our last tour was 2 years ago. It started out as a trio, but we lost a member along the way, so it ended as a duo.
Yeah, that kind of really solidified the duo thing, I think.
Yeah.
So you first stop, so it was mostly a duo too.
Yeah, like the most of the trip was that way.
Yeah.
But you work out the kinks along the way.
For sure. Yeah. So this tour should be a little bit smoother now.
We'll see.
No. Yeah.
You can't say that for sure.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
All of them. Yeah. All my fingers crossed.
Well, yeah. So we got a big party. We got tour kickoff party Saturday, July 9th. At the Blue Pearl here in St. Louis, and special guest Kid Scientist.
Yeah.
And what's this, Mary
Spadaro? I think is how you say her name.
Yeah.
She's a newcomer.
Yeah, but I've heard good things. We're gonna go catch her tonight. She's gonna get Shameless.
Okay.
That's true. And Benny Fowler play tonight. They're Shameless Grounds.
Yeah.
You catch her, so.
So that'll and then what, Crondelet guy?
Yeah, he's a Crondelet guy.
Yeah, I'm a fan
of his. He's a buddy, buddy of ours.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Mary or Crondelet guy.
You'd like him.
Yeah,
I'd say. What would you say his genre is, like hobo folk?
Yeah, but it's so intelligent.
Yeah,
it's like super intelligent hobo folk.
All right,
it's really good.
He'd probably
it's
appreciate good stuff. That.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you were hitting the road right after that.
We got right after.
Coming to a town near you. We got
if you're any of those towns.
Yeah, that's true. You're
probably not.
So we got Louisville, Brevard. Is that right? North Carolina.
Brevard, North Carolina.
Yes.
Transylvania County.
Yeah, Scranton, PA, Jersey City, New York City, and Indianapolis. So it's pretty solid little. East Coast tour and the East.
The East Coast is good to us.
Yeah.
It was very good to us last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the people there, just everybody that we, you know, stopped and, you know, helped us find shows or, you know, food or gave us a place to sleep was just really awesome. Just everybody really showed us a lot of love on the tour.
Very cool.
Absolutely. You know, That's why it just goes to show, like, some of the people that we're setting this stuff up with here were just people that came through town and played here, and that we went and saw them and dug them and, you know, helped them out on this side of the tour. And then down the road, you know, they were willing to help us out. So just got to keep that love flowing all directions, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You never know how it's going to work out.
Yeah, I hear a lot of, that's a lot of how, especially for independent musicians trying to make it, like, you know, it's a lot of, you know, show trading kind of stuff, like, you know, you take care of them here in St. Louis, and then, you know, they return the favor in their hometown, so.
For sure.
But yeah, no, I think that's awesome, build these relationships with people all across the country like that. So that's cool. Getting ready to hit the road, and just what, you two in the car or the van or whatever,
taking the car.
Yeah, like,
it's a hatchback.
We're like at the top of the car, like underneath, like the PA and everything.
Yeah, we're gonna. It's
not a very large.
It's vehicle. Not a big car.
Yeah.
No.
So, but you know, that was the thing. Last time we went on the road, we rented this huge, terrible van from our terrible old bosses, and it was just, like, it turned out to be drastic overkill.
We lost the upright bass player at the first stop.
So.
Lost that at the first stop. And more than that, though, the upright bass was gone, but it also had just some mechanical issues. We wound up being late to our first gig of the tour because the van doors wouldn't open. And it was starting to pour rain, and we actually had to get just our friend who set up the gig in Charleston, South Carolina, just got all these people coming out just out of the neighborhood and asking if he needed help or anything. And we finally got somebody with like a crowbar and
one of those things you stick down in the door.
Yeah, they had like a Slim Jim, but they also had like one of those carjack pillows that you stick in there and like deflate them. So we were finally able to get in.
Yeah,
so
by no easy feat.
No easy feat, but that still left us headed towards this gig in the pouring rain with no windshield wipers. That was something we didn't account for. So we were like, oh, no windshield wipers on the van? That's fine. Who needs windshield wipers when you're on a rock and roll band playing on the road, touring, playing rock and roll? Fuck that. Fucking. So what we wound up doing was taking the passenger side windshield wiper off.
That's right.
Sticking
Holy
it on
shit. I forgot about that.
The driver's side windshield wiper, but that didn't work because
it
didn't
have
fit
one
exactly.
Side at least.
So what wound up happening is, as the windshield wipers were flapping back and forth, the one windshield wiper slid out of the holder and like flew off. And so here we are driving this disgusting rapist van in the pouring rain in South Carolina with no windshields.
Right.
The rain is coming in because we had to jack the door in the back, so we've got all our stuff scooted over to the other side. And this thing, literally, you have to stomp on it. You have to stomp on everything. So we're driving this out of control, raging rock and roll rapist van to a gig in Charleston in the rain. It was all uphill after that first gig, let me tell you.
Yeah.
She doesn't like very many people.
Yeah, she doesn't come. Yeah, she's curious as hell, though.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
So
we're just taking the car this time. All else fails, we know that it runs.
We can sleep in that car with the PA in the back. Not comfortably, but we can. So.
Well, there's nothing comfortable about tour, though, so.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a blast, whatever.
Well, yeah, but you're not if you're seeking comfort.
No, that's true.
It's not that kind of blast.
Yeah. I was talking to these guys a while ago, about tour and stuff, and like, you know, they're talking about like they had like a kickoff party kind of thing, like, and people gave them like gift cards to Taco Bell and stuff, and like
nice.
So they could eat on the road, and then like
nice.
And then like the town they were in, like, they had a Taco Bell, but like they were talking like they were like closing or something like that, and they were like, you know, we only have money to eat at Taco Bell and stuff.
Specifically have Taco
right.
Bell dollars.
Yeah, so it was just kind of a mess, but they finally, I guess they got to, you know, serve, but it was just like, you know, it was just kind of hectic, you know, because they had no money, literally no money to buy anything else.
Oh,
like, except,
shit, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we've
been there.
Until, you know, I was like, trying to get to the next the gig to where they can get a couple bucks to get to the next one. And
exactly.
So.
Yeah, but in Baltimore,
We weren't starving for food, but on the last tour, we were in that same awful child molesting van that I was telling you about, and we wound up. See, Baltimore is a different kind of a city than St. Louis. There's not a lot of music venues, and a lot of what goes on is bigger house shows.
Mm-hmm.
And people have warehouses, and people buy up properties, and they set up their compounds on the properties, and have big parties like that. But it's not like St. Louis, where there's just a venue on every corner, and if you want to play a gig, it's always easy to do. It's St. Louis.
Right.
Baltimore is not like that. What we wound up having to do was a buddy of mine. Had a compound there in an old it was a bulldozer factory, but they bought it up and turned it into a big compound, And we didn't know where that was.
It doesn't
never been
look
there.
Like a really nice place on the outside.
Because
it looks
it's Baltimore.
Like every other fucking, you know, empty ass abandoned building.
It's
out there.
It's just deep in the heart of abandoned Baltimore. So, and you can't see anything. It just looks like one torn, worn down, you know, bombed out wasteland block after another. And so we're trying to find this gig. We're trying to find this thing when we get to Baltimore from where? From North Carolina. We drove from North Carolina to Baltimore. We had no... And Virginia's a cop town. Just a heads up, if you were passing through Virginia...
Yeah, driving through there was very nerve-wracking.
It's a police state. Yeah. It's depressing. So we show up in Baltimore. We're trying to find this place. We're on the block where it's at, but we can't find this fucking place. And we have no gas. We have no money because we put all the money in our tank somewhere in Virginia. And we're sitting here about to run out of gas in the middle of, in the parking lot of this 7-Eleven, just in the middle of Baltimore, fucking just screaming at each other. We're like 150 yards from wherever this places that we're supposed to go, but we can't fucking find
it
because it's Baltimore. And there's nothing in Baltimore except for a couple of spots. So, yeah, that was a godsend. They just, like, when we finally showed up, this place was like space age inside, and they just, like, threw money and weed and, like, food at us.
Yeah, they were super hospitable.
There was, like, 150 kids in there, and, like, this threw us off because... when we were playing in New York and Baltimore last time, we got up to play, and everybody was just sitting there, not talking, and, like, not looking at their phones, and, like, watching us, and, like, listening.
Very
we were like,
there's nothing so intimidating.
What the fuck are we going to do with this?
People listening to
like,
you.
Jesus Christ. Not used to this. They're definitely going to know if we screw it up.
It was really crazy.
You know,
it was an intense energy.
It was really weird. I recommend it. Recommend that to anybody.
I mean, that's
anybody.
Obviously, that's what you want, though. I've got
a
nice crowd that's listening, but
for sure.
Well, yeah, but you know, like the thing about like, you know, one of the first things they teach you in just basic economics, which turns out to be bullshit if you really think about it, but is that in order for there to be a demand for something, you have to know it exists. I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know you could ever play a show where there's people like sitting
like,
there like
literally
listening,
not,
to,
a
not
single
talking,
person looking
like,
at their
not
phone.
Looking at their phones. Like I didn't think that was like real, so I didn't know I wanted that. You know, and now
right.
I don't because that sounds like getting greedy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. For me as a fan, like I hate when I go to a show and to listen to a group and then like. There's people talking the whole time behind me or something. It's
for
like,
sure.
And it's like, you know, I came here, I paid my money to watch the band. I want to listen to the music, and I don't want to hear you, you know, talking about whatever you know behind me. It's like, go outside if you want to talk. Like this, you know, we're all
for
here
sure.
to for the music. We need to, you know, focus on this. And so I don't know. That's depends on the room. Obviously, if it's like a bar setting, it's different, but. If you're going to a place where it's more of a listening room type of vibe, you know, you want
to.
Yeah, like,
why did you pay to get in?
Right.
Been
really chill like
well,
that.
Actually, that's true. Like, but that was afterwards.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
also.
That was really like the first time. No, our buddy Matt Delphon, Carondelet guy. He's he has a house called Chill Dog Cove where they have some super cool house shows.
Yeah.
And everybody there. Is also, it's the same kind of situation. Like, everybody's, like, really attentive, and they're not talking, and they're, like, listening to you play. But luckily, we'd already done the others, so when we played that, we were ready for them.
Yeah.
They couldn't throw us off with their attention that they were giving us. Monsters.
Not like great humans.
Yeah. Well, we talked about some of those tunes you played and stuff. said you played, what, five songs?
Did four.
Four.
I think we did four.
Yeah.
One of them we crashed and burned, and it.
Called it on that one.
So let's talk about some of these tunes.
Sure.
I'll throw them in there. So we got You said this would be the new a new single coming out with this.
Yeah, we actually we cut a single last December, and it's just gonna be it's only gonna be available in physical copies on the tour. It's only a tour
we're
single.
Give you one,
we'll give you one.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
So
we
came
right out. For sure, that's a long trip. But we did do that last year, and we're pressing it. My buddy Tim Brown did the graphic design for the stamps, a limited run, and we're gonna release that only on the tour.
Yeah.
And I guess we should probably give them to the people who are at the Blue Pearl at the kickoff show too.
Yeah,
really
we'll have
sense.
Those there too. We'll have those.
Yeah.
We have them now. But
talking to you helped me to think through the logistics on that, so thank you. Like a little problem solving live in action right now.
There you go.
Chasing Ghosts is actually the first song that's going to be on that single.
Okay. Do you guys write these together, or do you, or how's that?
As of right now, he writes everything.
Yeah,
all the stuff that we just did, mm-hmm. I wrote, and all the stuff that's on the single, I wrote. We're getting ready to do this tour.
Yeah.
But after that happens, because right now, we're so fucking booked solid up through September. I didn't want to think about it. I kept asking her if she wanted to do some R&D in August once we got back from the tour. And I'm like, we don't have any shows booked through September. Do we just set that one? She's like, oh, no, and this one. And I'm like, okay,
But also this other
But we're doing it. But we're going to do the R&D.
Yeah, there's going to be new things happening, but it probably won't come out until, like, next year.
Yeah.
No, it'll come out the year after that.
Yeah, that sounds better.
We have an album in the can right now.
Like, it's recorded completely.
It's only got to be mastered, but we can't put it out now because all our money's going to this tour. So next year when we have some money, we're going to drop that record. And then while we're fucking with that, we've got some songs of hers that we're working on developing a little more and co-writing with a lot of other people at this point because, you know, this is the first time. This has been a really collaborative period, so
yeah,
a lot of stuff right in the writing at this moment.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So Chasing Ghost, that's the that'll be on that new single. You can pick up at Blue Pearl.
It will be available at Blue Pearl.
Yeah, on July 9th.
July 9th, tour kickoff show.
Yeah, and then is the studio, the single or the recording of it is we did it, you know, acoustic today, but is it a pretty similar vibe, or do you guys add more instrumentation to a lot of this?
It's
or?
Fairly similar.
It's pretty stripped down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a studio recording. That's about the only difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of our deal right now. It's pretty stripped down.
Yeah. We basically, we wanted to have something, like the last album I did, all the albums sound different. Like the first album we've got is a punk band, is my punk band. She's obviously not on it yet. That was years ago. The second one is more of just like a stripped down, like country record. It's like a two-piece guitar and upright bass. She's not on that one. But we wanted to have something that was just us before we went on tour. So that was like that. That was the first recordings that we cut as a duo. So it's pretty stripped down. Basically, like, you know, what you heard, only, you know,
right,
a little more cleaned up, a little more studio-y.
Sure.
Cut it live, though. You know.
Yeah. And then, so, it's a lot of just guitar, and then Lily plays tambourine and some kazoo on some of these tracks.
Yeah, just kind of hit things on things. That bench over there, like, I taped a tambourine to that and beat it with different things for different sounds and, like, put towels under it, but it's all kind of... I don't know. It's not really a musician. It's just kind of noise.
Yeah.
But I'm going to put your sticker on that thing. That's what I was talking about. I've got a bunch of local band stickers and whatnot. And
very cool.
It.
Yeah. So what was... we've also played Personalities.
Oh, Personalities, Icons, and Other Cardboard Cutouts.
Yeah.
That's an oldie but a goodie. You know, I actually wrote that one when I was going up to Umsl, and they had the religious canvassers on campus out handing out Bibles and shit. And I mean, it's an interesting read, but I mean, it's nothing to live your life by.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But so like I went back to my room and took a whole lot of speed and wrote that song, which is why it's got the more Motorhead-y aesthetic. You know, it's got like that Dead Soul speed vibe to it. And I mean, incidentally, I wrote that song 6 years ago, so I think there's only some of the things in it that have any truth anymore. Well, I mean, aside from not believing anything, like, I even if I did, I wouldn't believe some of the stuff that's about anymore. But some of it's true. You know, it's about being real. It's about having a little bit of depth to you.
Sure.
You know, as opposed to some of the things that I'd encountered and some of the people that I'd encountered that I wrote that about. You know?
Yeah.
What can take but
how you gonna ask me to wait until I die to get to your promised land, the son of man? supposed to hold? How you gonna kiss the ass of the flesh and blood human beings? They fought and pissed and shit just like you do when you tell the truth. That don't mean when you lie to yourself that you're fooling anybody. One more time for good measure. How you gonna worship icons? Deep down you know as well as I, there ain't nothing waiting for you but the ground when you die. Those are only stars in the sky.
And then you also, we did, what was it, William number two?
William number two.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about that one? Where's that come from?
Well, it's a sequel. I wrote this song called William, which was about, I actually wrote the original on my way to work when I heard this NPR story about this writer who'd been on my radar for some time, named William Volman. He's basically like an American Russian novelist. He does the decades of research and then knocks out these 1,200-page epic tomes. But he'd been on my radar because we had similar means of doing research. Like, he's the type of dude who will, in order to get the details of a whorehouse right, go smoke crack with the whores in the whorehouse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he'd been on my radar, but this story was about how he was also on the FBI's watch list when he had been a suspect as being the Unabomber, because he was kind of off the grid and they had similar lifestyles. Aside from the bombing and the terrorism, that part they didn't really share. But the living in a cabin aspect. So he was a suspect, and then he found out that even after Ted Kaczynski was convicted of being the Unabomber, that the FBI was still watching him, and he was wondering when they ever stopped watching you. And it was around that time when all of Edward Snowden's revelations were coming out and such. And so I was driving to work, and it just really depressed me that there's no way to be an outlaw anymore. You can't do it in this day and age, because somebody's always watching you. And if there's no outlaws, then all the good outlaw things that outlaws do don't get done. Like, you can't have the outlaw poets and writers and philosophers that you used to have. So I started thinking about all those people, all the outlaw poets and comedians and philosophers, and they're all named William. It's William Blake, William the Kid, the William Hicks, and so that's William Volman, the guy that was about William Burroughs. So that's why the song is called William. It's about the death of the American outlaw, that's what it's about.
All right.
So number two, William number two, I decided to go a little more positive direction with it, and William number two is a song about understanding that even though they're going to get you, that still doesn't mean you shouldn't run. Anyway, so that's what that's about.
Yeah.
Living on the run. Absolutely.
Sure.
You know? Yeah.
It's dark as well.
Jesse James.
Yeah.
So not an outlaw at all.
No, not an outlaw at all. writing style? No, just good writing. William Blake, like, I was an English major, so, you know, a lot of writers. You know, musically, probably old music. You know?
Yeah, I kind of feel like... maybe like a, you know, Johnny Cash type of some kind of someone in there, like that kind of outlaw type of a character from some of your songs.
You're Johnny Cash a lot.
Yeah,
I get that a lot, probably because of the black, or probably because
the deeper voice.
I can't sing real high. Yeah. You know. Oh, I better take this. We might be a call in.
Yeah, phone lines are lighting up.
Oh, just talking about influences and how, you know, there are none. I don't know, man. Like, I always think that people should escape their influences, but, you know, it's just my opinion on the matter, you know? It's like, but why sound like somebody that's already, you know, it's already done stuff? And I say this as, like, the preeminent Johnny Cash impersonator in all of St. Louis. But, you know, if that weren't the case... And still, maybe Elvis. Maybe we should switch to Elvis.
See, he reminds me more of Leonard Cohen.
Yeah.
There's this picture of Leonard Cohen in a 7-Eleven or some sort of grocery store, and he has like several, like his arms full of like several bags of Cheetos, and it's this great moment of Zen for me to see that, and that's like, I think that's probably what he reminds me the most of.
Okay.
Like Leonard Cohen.
Sure.
But going to get munchies for sure.
Yeah.
It was really weird, man. Like, somebody told me one time that he thought of himself like Bob Dylan and like me as Lou Reed. And I was like, why would you think about yourself like that? Like, why would you even attempt to directly emulate a path that somebody's already carved out? Like, why not be you? See, that's the thing. Like, none of that shit ever occurred to me. It just turns out that way. Right. You know what I mean? It just, like, certain things just turn out that way. And if you really listen, like, the people I like to listen to are the kind of people that you think they're one thing when you listen to them at first, and then after you stop listening to them for a second, you realize that they're not what you thought they were. They're not, it's like, oh, that was a great Americana band, and then you think about it later, it's like, no, they were pop. You know, they're not, they don't, write themselves into those corners. And that's the thing, like the specific person that even said that neglected to recognize even certain things about Bob Dylan, insofar as that there is no Bob Dylan. You know what I mean?
That's true.
That Bob Dylan was just this free-floating thing expressing itself through various forms, a reflection of American culture. But it's like, who thinks about themselves like that? That had never occurred to me. It's like, I'd rather do Edgefield C. Johnson or whoever the fuck I am.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, whatever my name is, you know? Because then none of that really matters. You're not dealing with that name. You're dealing with what's behind it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah.
Word.
Yeah. We played, what was another one we played?
New Sermon, number one.
Yeah, New Sermon. There you go.
Yeah. Well, that's a new sermon.
Yeah.
Titles are the hardest things to come up with, so a lot of times I'll just scrap that aspect entirely.
Right.
You know, that's not so hard. And besides that, like, once you title something, it dies. Like, as soon as you name something, you know, you're stamping your brand of psychological control on it. But when you're really, like, making music, but when you're actually like attempting to like pull something out through from a place where that's even pre-matter, if you're trying to pull something up from a field of pure potential where anything can be anything, you're harnessing chaos and contradiction. You're harnessing, I put that in bunny ears, chaos and contradictions that aren't easily digestible. And, you know, just because you can name chaos doesn't mean that you have any sort of control over it. It's chaos. The word chaos is just a human construction of something that is utterly beyond our ability to grasp. So it's hard to name songs. Sometimes you just gotta not name them.
Yeah.
That's like a running joke with us. She'll be like, Untitled 5, God, which one is that?
I know, there's like Untitled number. Yeah, there's like 5 of them right now.
Yeah.
But that one in particular, it's about a lot of things, man. It's about people's beliefs. I mean, you like look around in the kind of charged climate that we have going on, and people feel free to just spew their beliefs, whatever they believe, everywhere, and that's fine. Like, I don't personally care what anybody thinks or believes or does, really, but at the same time, you know, people seem to confuse beliefs with truth, where beliefs are just arbitrary. You could believe anything. Like, if you were born on the opposite side of the planet, but on the same day and time, then the stuff that you thought you were was a fact, the stuff that you believed would be based on that cultural context. So that's how you form belief structures. They'd be different. That's what that song's about. It's about not imposing your belief structures on people because they're bullshit. Your beliefs are just as bullshit as mine.
That's the best you ever articulated, though, I think. That's good.
Oh, thank you. Why, thank you. I just came up with it.
Yeah.
Your wine and
still keep occupying the same old time. You got your savior, I own mine. You step to me for to proclaim the prophecies foretold your name. Gonna change the world, you're just the same. Keep building castles in your name. You be your savior, I'll be mine. Just for yourself, not all mankind. I ain't qualified to recognize prophets, priests, or swines. You be your savior, I'll be mine.
I guess we'll look to wrap this thing up. We got, again, kickoff party July 9th over at Blue Pearl.
Yep.
With Kid Scientist, Mary
Spadaro. I think I'm saying that right. Yeah. If you butchered it seven times.
Mary Spadaro, we're sorry if we fucked that up.
Yep, it's true.
Many times.
And Condolette Guy. Is there a cost or?
It's going to be donations.
Yeah, we're suggesting $5 donation, sure. But okay. If you have $3 or no dollars, just come listen.
Sure.
If you want to see us get on the road, fuck it, throw us food cards.
Yes.
We'll take them.
That's true.
Yeah, and of course, check out the new single, That Night All's Well. And then we got, you can find... Edgefield C. Johnston on Facebook and
the website, it's edgefieldcjohnston.com. That's right.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
We're on Reverb Nation. Yeah, all those things. I think we have
Band
a Twitter.
Camp. We have a Twitter. We have a Bandcamp.
Don't look at our Twitter. It's not very. We don't do much on Twitter, but we have one.
All right. Yeah. So get out and get involved. Like I said. Follow them online. Keep up with the tour and everything. It'd be cool to get some updates along the way on the road and stuff.
For sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you so much for doing this and hanging out. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thanks for all you do.
Yeah,
for, like,
seriously,
the music
for the
in
St.
this
Louis
town.
Music
like,
scene, yeah.
Shit's like plastered. Every time I open that, you've got the new podcast. Awesome, man. Like, doing good things. Like, the people in this town that do the shit that we do definitely need the support, and I can't speak for them, man, but I appreciate you.
Yeah,
well, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, well, I appreciate that. That's, just trying to do my part to support my community and make something cool for everybody. So, hopefully, more people get on board but yeah, I'm having a great time doing this. And
man, keep up the good work. It shows.
Yeah,
it's fun.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Again,
July 9th, that's the party. Come on out. We'll see you there.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock,